From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2003 when a 45-year-old teacher and former engineer took a look in the mirror. The teacher saw a woman staring back and was struck by how clear and obvious that was. The teacher thought about all the people who might question that identity, parents, colleagues, friends, but it was clear that was a woman looking back from the mirror, raising her hand, touching her hair. Shauna O'Toole understood that this was who she was. She waited one moment longer and then realized she was first coming out to herself. She was accepting her own identity. In many ways, it's been challenging, as it is for almost all trans Americans, but Shauna is happy. She remarried. Her son was the gentleman of honor at the wedding. She became an activist and an educator. And last year, she announced a run for political office that has since been suspended for health reasons. But this hour, we're going to talk to a panel about what equality means, particularly in light of a number of recent news events. It sort of feels like on this program, we have talked about LGBTQ issues, we've talked about trans issues, but we haven't really had a panel of people from the trans community. So whether it's sort of post-Orlando, North Carolina laws, the publicity surrounding Caitlyn Jenner, Laverne Cox, and others. We're going to talk about a lot this hour. Let me go ahead and welcome my guests, and they include Shauna O'Toole. Welcome, Shauna.
Thank you very much.
Jason Robert Ballard is here. Jason, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Moore Delaney is here. Moore, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Moore, just sort of as a point of clarity, you identify, self-identify as trans, masculine, genderqueer, or gender expansive, right?
Yep.
All right, so what's the simple explanation for what that means?
Well, what that means is I was assigned female at birth, but when I look in that mirror, I see somebody who overflows the boxes. On the other hand, I'm okay when people call me he, him, his, and I'd certainly rather people mistake me for a guy on the street than call me she.
Okay. Seems fair enough. So let me start with Shauna's story, because that's what I opened the hour with here. You know, you were a teacher. You taught it in SOTUS, right?
Yes, I did.
And, you know, you've got a background in science, and you're 45 years old. And take me back to that moment of what happened.
Well, it was Halloween, and when people say you can do anything at Halloween, don't you believe it? They're for literally 40 years at that point, I've been having this internal battle as to who I was.
All the way back to early childhood, right?
I was 4 or 5 when I started questioning that.
Okay.
But back then, it was considered a serious mental illness treated by aversion therapy, forced indoctrination, and electroshock. And so Halloween came around, and the other side of me sort of took control. And you know, I don't want to make it sound like I have a split personality, because I don't. But the feminine side came out, and you could either go big or go home, either passable or a parody. So I went passable. And so when I stepped out of the bathroom at my hairstylist, I saw me for the first time. And I had this moment of panic where everything I'd been taught by my parents, by the media in general, this is wrong, bad, evil, came rushing at me. But then I waited one moment longer and realized that who I had been living was a reflection, and what I saw there was the reality. And that began this journey in earnest.
How did those around you receive it?
It was difficult. My ex took one look at me and walked away. Now, she knew what I was doing for the Halloween party, did not know how far I was going. Other people at the party were okay, sort of. I was surrounded by a group of other women at the party. And the amazing thing is that I was already thinking other women. And they inspected me head to foot. I had one woman tell me later she was very upset with me because I looked better in a skirt than what she did. It was hard. And
harder for others, but when you say you were already thinking other women, that says to me that once you embraced that identity, it wasn't difficult for you to see yourself as a woman.
That is correct.
That was it. Was natural.
It was the epiphany I needed.
Okay. Work-wise, how did it go?
In general, it went okay, although there were a lot of people who were freaking out behind the scenes, I've been told. Some good, some bad, nothing directly to me. It was okay, but I'm glad I'm no longer in education.
Why do you say that?
Well, to make a short story long, and I'm noted for that. I mean, Moore and Jason know this routine. The year I transitioned and started living as me, started teaching as me, I suddenly found myself on a teacher improvement plan.
That was 2008?
That was 2008.
All right, so you transition, and all of a sudden, you're on a teacher improvement plan, which means they think you're not doing top quality work.
Now, to be fair and to be honest here, I do not believe and will not say that this was done to get rid of me, because I don't think it was. I think it was being done to make me this role model for the LGBTQ community. What my administration did not realize is that because of the incredible levels of estrogen I was on, high levels of estrogen are shown to cause clinical depression in women. So I was already depressed there. I was in the middle of the divorce from the depths of hell. I was still getting my arms around the enormity of this transition. And I think it's easier for someone who's younger than someone my age. And so I was not able to complete that improvement plan. If this plan had waited a few years, we would be having a different story, I think, than what we have now. Simply a line of different things that came together all at once that made it impossible for me to complete. I was in what we pilots would call a coffin corner. There's nothing I could do right because I had so many factors against me.
When did you leave teaching?
2011. When my daughter started college, I started working for Wegmans. And Wegmans has kept me financially solvent ever since. They've been a great company to work for. No problem whatsoever.
Well, I think that... So you're very encouraged by their approach to LGBTQ issues, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm presently at the East Avenue store, and at one time there were three people from the trans community working at the store and talking with the employee reps. You know, they've worked at other stores where there are multiple trans people, people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer. It's not a problem, not an issue.
You've also looked at politics, and you floated a run for state senate against Rich Funke.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me why you looked at state politics.
I was taking a class. I had started my master's in social work, and I was in a class called Politics and Social Policy, where we looked at how politics affect what social workers do. And if we understood how the political system worked, then we could better use the system to help our programs instead of fighting the system. The program came together with a final project where we had to present a bill in a mock session of the New York State Senate. So I present agenda. I had guest speaker there to help advocate for this as well, a former professor of mine who has a trans child. And it was there I did this, and I'm going, I could do this in real life. And decided then, especially after the 2014 election, mm-hmm. where we took a turn to the right in this state, I had to go to the state floor and say, I am the person that you are discriminating against. I am one of your fellow senators. This is why we need GENDA, the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act.
So you have since suspended the campaign, yes?
I did have to suspend a campaign. Last summer, I started dealing with congestive heart failure. And it came down to being either a living activist or a dead candidate. Of the two, living activist seemed a lot more enjoyable.
Could you get back into politics in the future?
I could. This is something for my spouse and I to talk about in the future. I'm not sure. You know, a lot of the things that were in my platform, the governor has enacted by executive order. So we need to take a look at this. They need to be codified. And it was far more than LGBT issues. So we will have to see on that one.
Okay. But your health now is, how are you doing now?
I'm stable. The blood pressure last summer was 175 over 96. It's down.
I'm not a doctor. I don't think that sounds good, though.
It isn't. It's now down to about 117 over 74. You know, dealing with the cholesterol, diabetes, everything else that comes with the CHF. And we're moving forward and happy and doing speaking and outreach. It's what I love to do.
Well, that's Shauna O'Toole's story, the short version.
Very.
Jason Robert Ballard, whatever you want to share about your own story, we'd certainly love to hear it. But again, it's whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Ooh, right on the spot. I've actually been thinking about my story a lot lately and how it's changed. I do speaking events with the Gay Alliance of Genesee Valley. We've been on their Speakers Bureau for 8 years, I think, now. And so I've been going to universities and all around Rochester area talking about my story. And so I thought about what my story was 8 years ago versus what it is now. Even just the way that I say that I identify, it used to be that I identified as a trans man, and it's kind of shifted to identifying as a man that happened to have been born female. And the difference there, I think, is just that I don't know. I was immersed in the experience of transitioning, and now I'm more so pushing to help people get to the point where they're transitioning, not faster, but just easier with the language that I didn't have when I was younger, the resources that I didn't have when I was younger. It's important to me, to people, to have that language now so that they can, at their own pace, but transition faster than I was able to, so that they can get to just living their life. I have a wife now. We're looking at a house, buying a house tomorrow, actually.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And that just seems like part of my life that I'm ready for now.
So you don't prefer the term trans man?
It doesn't matter if it's used for me, actually, absolutely, because that's also what I am. But it's important to me for guys like me to realize that they don't have to always be trans. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think so. I mean, I'm just trying to listen, you know,
okay.
and understand better. But you seem comfortable, happy, things are solid, stable. Yes,
I think that's probably the goal, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But we also know that people in the trans community in this country routinely have much higher levels of unemployment, face much higher levels of discrimination, much higher levels of depression, much higher levels of suicide and attempted suicide. That's the only reason I ask. And that eventually we have to figure out a way to get that in line with the normal population. Look at me using a great term like normal. I told the panel here, wait till I use a term here that everyone's going to recoil from. The what's the term? Gender
cisgender.
Cisgender. Oh, thank you, guys. Cisgender population. You know, we've got to find a way to get those numbers, those statistics down. And I guess this is just, you know, your way of approaching it. Is that?
Yeah, and I don't want it to come across like I'm done, here you go, mic drop kind of thing. But I think that, you know, I came out to myself when I was 12, and there was nothing but Jerry Springer to even give me the language of transgender in general. There was no positive role models or anything like that. So it was very important to me over the last almost 10 years of my life to create those resources. And so I created a resource called The Self-Made Men, which was for people like me to figure out how to get healthcare, how to get changing their names, how to start testosterone, how to do stuff like that. And then because of that resource, other resources popped up. And so I moved into, you know, creating something that was just cultural, like this magazine that I created. And I think that I've watched the community go from just having Jerry Springer to having, you know, I mean, even Caitlyn Jenner, I guess, but also Laverne Cox and all of these great role models who are now in mainstream cisgender community platforms. And it's just been really, really great to see. And I don't want to say, you know, yeah, I'm done because I'm done transitioning and all of this is done, because there are so many trans men who don't have jobs or trans men who don't have that kind of stuff. And so working with the Gay Alliance of Genesee Valley has been just what that's what I'm doing now.
Okay. And so what you mentioned some of the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you direct people to understand that this is here, this is here, this is here to help you?
Right. If you're talking about like just in the Rochester area, it's definitely the Gay Alliance. It's definitely Trillium. It's definitely the Empire Justice Center helps me with my name change again. And my primary care provider was from Oneonta, New York. I was her second trans person that she ever saw, and now she has over 400. But that's 3 hours away, so it was like I literally have driven guys 3 hours to my hometown in Oneonta and been like, here's a doctor you can see. But now it's really, really great to just be like, hey, Trillium's on Monroe Ave, and you know, these people know exactly what they're talking about.
You were the second?
Second.
And now over 400?
Over 400.
That's remarkable, isn't
it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, but that shows... I think we were talking to a panel of folks from Trillium last week, and Dr. Bill Valenti said, you know, even 10 years ago, he had one regular patient who was transgender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, everything has changed so much. So those are some of the resources. You also mentioned what you've created. Did you want to talk any more about what you have created?
Sure. There's a I created a magazine for trans men called FTM, which stands for Female to Male. And it's in a lot of healthcare offices, lobbies, and LGBT centers. And we just went to Philadelphia for a trans health conference, and it was very well received there, too. And it's just been fun to see that there's an entertainment platform now. Does that make sense?
What's the goal of the magazine, then?
The goal of the magazine is, we have those three, like, subtitle, it's entertain, promote, and celebrate, basically. And so it's just a form of pride that you can have that's not so heavy with everything else, I guess. With the just, well, I can't swear, just the bad parts. The bad parts.
Thank you for pulling back and self-censoring there. Is FTM online, by the way?
It is, yes. Where FTMmagazine.com.
FTMmagazine.com, if you want to check it out. All right, Moore Delaney,
yep.
Talk a little bit about your story if you want to share. Go ahead.
Sure. I actually figured things out later in life, because when things aren't as clear for folks assigned female at birth, folks who are assigned female at birth have a lot more leeway to explore gender without having labels put on one. And I had a lot of other things going on all my life. I've had a lot of big words. I was picked on for intelligence far sooner than anything related to gender. I knew that I was other. I was treated as something different, but I didn't have a word to put on it. So it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I realized that, no, I'm not just a lesbian. I'm not just somebody who has a sexual orientation difference. I am a person who has a gender difference, and meeting other trans people and meeting other genderqueer people, I was able to get a bead on my identity and find those words that it took me so long to discover.
Is it a relief when you meet people and you can have those conversations and you can start to... You
very
know,
much
sort of
so.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. In fact, I run a group on Thursday nights currently here at Equal Grounds from 7 to 9 p.m. called Genesee Valley Gender Variance. We call it GV Squared for short. But the whole idea of this group is to come hang out, be yourself. However yourself happens to express yourself, live your authentic self, find your smiles, and get to meet other people who are doing the same thing. And it's just grown... 20 people is a slow night for us.
Wow. So that's on Thursday night?
Yep.
And where is Equal Grounds, by the way?
That's 750 South Ave.
Okay, so 7 to 9.
Yep.
Thursday nights.
Yep. And some folks come early, some folks stay late, and introductions are at 7:30. So if you want to get to know folks, that's a good time to be there.
How has your own, and I said kind of gender fluidity, but more self-identifies as gender expansive, as you explained earlier. How has that impacted you when it comes to relationships, say with work, for example?
Well, I was really lucky that the team I was on in the call center was pretty open, and I had an HR representative who was on board with what do you need us to do. And so I actually transitioned my name at work long before I transitioned my name legally and before I started any medical transition, and they were great about it.
So you're hearing from someone who's worked for a call center.
Yes.
Sean is talking about Wegmans.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're hearing is, I think, a welcoming, warm approach, hopefully at more places of work than we may suspect.
It can be. There are other folks that I know who were on different teams in the same company, and each team has a different company culture to it,
yeah.
So that there was not a uniform experience throughout the situation.
Is it sometimes company to company? Is it sometimes HR person to HR person?
It can be, yes.
I can't really say that because so far everyone I've met there in HR has been nothing but phenomenal. And, you know, having worked in three stores now, I have not had a problem with anyone.
Mm-hmm. Jason, what's your perspective on how companies and HR departments are doing?
I'm trying to remember the last time that I worked for a company. right now, I'm a bartender at Tilt Nightclub,
mm-hmm.
and so Tilt Nightclub is an LGBT nightclub. So the owners and the people and the other bartenders have always been super fantastic. The last time I think I worked at Sam's Club a couple years ago, and that was good. I told them about things just in case there was ever something that came up, and they were very like very cool. I also came out to my gym just to let them know, because I would be using the men's locker room. This is what's happening. Like, I have surgeries, so I don't, topless, I don't appear to have a female body. But if I were to use the shower or something like that, just off chance, how would they react? And they said they were completely behind me. They would be perfect. Just, I think Planet Fitness did that. Oh, there was a story about a trans woman who had gone to Planet Fitness and was accepted as well. So I think there's a lot of acceptance.
Okay, so those are all the encouraging signs, and then you see the headlines like I just saw, and I want to read this. Let's see here. This comes from The Guardian, a report in The Guardian just 3 days ago. A reminder that legal issues remain a significant issue, especially for the transgender community. I want to quote from The Guardian story. Quote, in a clash that highlights the fraught legal landscape for facing some transgender people, a man in Georgia is fighting against a judge's refusal to allow him to legally change his name. The judge, J. David Roper, wrote in an opinion handed down earlier this year the following, quote, name changes which allow a person to assume the role of a person of the opposite sex are, in effect, a type of fraud on the general public. Such name changes also offend the sensibilities and mores of a substantial portion of the citizens of this state. End quote. He went on to call such a name change dangerous. That March decision came to light earlier this week after the petitioner, who goes by Rowan Elijah Feldhaus and is seeking to legally make Rowan Elijah his first and middle name, sought to overturn the ruling in the Georgia Court of Appeals. I want to go around the table. I'll start with you, Moore. What do you think?
Well, for one thing, it is the exact opposite of what the World Professional Association for Transgender Health puts out as guidelines for documentation. WPATH, as it's called, recommends that people be able to have documentation in alignment with their identity as soon as possible for both safety and privacy issues. And from my personal experience, it's also a matter of honesty about the inside. Transitioning is about living your authentic self. And we have these bodies that society tells us, this is that, this is that, this is that, but it's not as simple as the physical form. Biology isn't as much of binary as X and Y chromosomes. There's hormones that play a part. There's brains and other chromosomes that play a part. And leaving it at what a doctor looks at and doesn't even test anything for, it's problematic at best.
And let me also ask all three of you the importance for some transgender Americans to be able to change their names if they want? What's the importance?
Well, if they are changing their name, it is to live their authentic self. And if they have a name that goes against the gender identity, then they will be misgendered repeatedly, which is at best a microaggression and can lead to higher statistics of depression and suicide. It's kind of like getting poked. If you're poked in that same spot 50 times a day, every day, eventually it's going to go beyond a bruise and become an open bleeding wound.
Jason, the importance of having that option to change the name and then juxtapose that with what the judge said about that option becomes a fraud on the public.
The importance of being able to change your name is 100% important. There's nowhere to talk where it's not important. I will just come right out and tell you that my birth name was Anastasia. If I walked around with that name on my license and that name all the time being said to me, looking the way that I do, I know people can't see me right now.
Can I describe? You are a young-looking guy with a beard.
There you go.
Looks like you work out a lot. You're very fit. Yeah, what's it, you do?
A little.
Okay. All right. Well, you're very fit. And yeah, Anastasia would not, you know, for most people, that would be a surprise to hear that your name would be Anastasia.
Right, absolutely. And it almost, the name with the visual would almost target me for extreme amounts of violence, gender policing, and just in the, not even just the non-trans community, but just like people in general. If I was at the doctor's and they called out Anastasia and I got up, you know what I mean? I could be, you know, in the parking lot, someone could be like, hey, like, what's going on with you? I don't like this. I'm scared because I don't know what's going on with you. And therefore, I could commit violence toward you or something like that. It's 100% necessary. And I'm going to start off going this way, but I promise the plane lands in what we're talking about.
Sure.
It was amazing to see how the difference in just socially after marriage equality was passed. It was as if because of the law, now socially we had to change. And so if these are the laws against us, people are using political people and they're using the hate that they're seeing from all of these people to justify violence against us. And so when the laws change, it helps the society change.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Shauna, agree?
Absolutely. You know, Jason and Moore have hit this on the head. It's crucial. It's 100% crucial. It's no ifs, ands, ors, or buts about it. Without it, could you imagine me? Now, I think I look somewhat female. Could you imagine me going through airport security with a male name? You know, God forbid I ever get arrested. What do you think would happen to me if I still had my male name and looking like this? And this happens. Trans women are placed in male prisons and are raped repeatedly, hundreds, even thousands of times, by everyone, inmates and guards alike. This is a form of aggression. It goes against medical fact as to who we are. And medical science shows that this is a psychophysiological effect in the brain. This is who we physically are. And I can cite the medical research for that. I still read medical articles for fun. I know. I'm still a geek. Okay. It's crucial. And what the judge is doing is blatantly wrong. It is not a fraud. And to deny us our identity because some people in society are uncomfortable is a misuse of his office.
Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for our panel, we encourage your phone calls. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Our guests, Shauna O'Toole telling her story, Jason Robert Ballard telling his, Moore Delaney telling Moore's story. And now, all right, so what's the pronoun? Because you said you'd rather be identified. What's that?
I'd use he, him, his pronouns.
He, him, his. Okay, that's what you prefer.
And, yep, and what you just demonstrated is exactly the right thing to do if you're not sure. It's always okay to ask a trans person what their pronouns are.
Okay, so he, him, his. So more Delaney telling his story as well. And our panel is talking about not only their stories, but also some of the issues that have been in the news recently. When I come back here, I want to talk about a couple of things here. We want to talk about the way I think mass media and culture is looking at trans issues and how that is changing with Laverne Cox, a little bit with Caitlyn Jenner, but I think at least in mainstream media, the impact there. I want to ask Jason about how the community that he works in is handling Orlando, particularly working for, tell us again where you work, Tilt,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes, Tilt Nightclub.
Yep. I was going to say Pulse. Of course, that's what happened in Orlando, Tilt in Rochester. So I want to get Jason's take on that, and we'll get your phone calls and questions as well. So much more ahead with our panel after this short break on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on the Next Connections, the Cleveland Indians have pulled back on using Chief Wahoo as the logo for the team, and some take that as a sign that professional sports are recognizing the sensitivities to Indian communities about the use of terms like tribe, redskins, and more. We'll explore the future of those terms in sports. Then in the second hour, Valor Day. You've heard WXXI is a partner and a sponsor. We'll tell you all about it. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before we get to your phone calls, and we will be there in just a second, I want to ask Jason Robert Ballard, who works at Tilt, since what happened in Orlando, how's the nightclub, the bar scene doing here? We had a beautiful conversation with Peter Moore from Bachelor Forum, and we talked to someone who's worked at 140 Alex. But how are you doing, and how do you see that scene doing?
Tilt only opened Thursday, Friday, Saturday, okay. So this Thursday will be our first night back.
How do you feel about going back to work?
I'm not scared. We have excellent security guards. We have all three nights. On Friday night is actually our Latin night, so something like Pulse could have happened anywhere in any city ever. The details released about Pulse, about how the shooter got the guns in and things like that, have been taken care of by Bill Levy. We have extra security measures for every night. I don't feel like we're unsafe. I don't feel unsafe going to work.
I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. Let me start with a first phone call from Jasper in Rochester. Go ahead, Jasper.
Hey, Evan. Long-time listener, thank you so much for addressing this.
Sure.
Also, thank you, panelists. I know all of you, and thank you for representing us so well. I just wanted to say that this is a really good education for the community, especially since Pulse happened, you know, that affected a lot of trans people of color. So just wanted to say thank you, and I hope you all have a great day.
Jasper, thanks for the phone call, and thumbs up from the panel here. I'll go back and say again, if you want to call the program, 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255. That was Jasper. This is Cindy in Spencerport. Next up. Go ahead, Cindy.
I wanted to say a quick hi to Shauna. We were in high school together out in Leroy, and I'm glad to hear your health is improving. I heard you had to suspend your campaign for that reason. So just wanted to say a quick hi. Glad things are going well. And, of course, Evan, love your shows, all of them.
Thank you, Cindy.
Cindy, thank you so much. You're laughing there. This is an old friend?
Yeah, we had our 40th high school reunion last year. And I told everyone ahead of time what was happening. And, you know, there were a few people who looked at me a little odd. But, in general, it was wonderful and Cindy is an old friend, as well as several of my former classmates, and it was a non-issue. They asked some questions. I gave some answers. We talked a lot about our kids, and it was good.
That's good to hear. I made the mistake of reading Facebook comment sections after your campaign was announced, because Shauna's story was in the news. You might have seen it in a couple of different platforms. Never read the comments. Like, just don't.
You know, don't go
it's
there.
As if I've it never seen a comment section before. So what's heartening is it's not unique to the trans community to see online comment sections as rude or hateful. I mean, there's rude and hateful stuff in the comment sections for a lot of different issues. Mm-hmm. But I saw some awful stuff. And yeah. I don't know if you did. I guess what I'm saying here is That's not unique to the online world. I hope you haven't seen or heard too much of that since your campaign was announced. You know, how in general has the feedback been?
You know, I have, I just don't read the comments.
Okay. See, you're smarter than me. It's good.
Well, your job is to find out what people think. Mine is to ignore it and do what I think needs to be done. Members of the LGBTQ community and my allies, friends, acquaintances, were thrilled. They were rooting for me. I had people stop me, people I did not know, say, I read your platform. It sounds fantastic. Best of luck to you. Go get them. And so there were a lot of positive things.
Largely similar to what you experienced going back for a 40th reunion, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, good. Glad to hear that. I want to get to a phone call, but before I do, a little bit of a disclaimer on our next phone call. Because our next phone call is Tom in Greece, and he's got a question for Shauna. But before I take this call, he has questions about, you know, I think there are certain questions that are absolutely unnecessary, unfair to transgender people that some people have. And then there are some people have questions that they are curious about and want to learn more about.
Okay.
So are there certain things that you would put off limits entirely to begin with?
Okay.
Are there certain sort of aspects, Shauna, for you? I know, you know, your ex, things like that. We're not talking about
my ex's story is my ex's story.
Absolutely.
And she has the right to tell it her way. In terms of body issues, surgeries, or whatever,
yeah.
Basically a little crass.
I agree. Okay. So having said that, I'm going to take Tom's call, but Shauna's going to probably help educate us on where questions are inbounds and out of bounds. But the host has already screwed up. So even though it's been on my mind ever since I said it, I'm just going to say this again. Transgender is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Trans is normal. It's natural. It's not the majority of the population, but that's, who cares, right?
Right.
So I'm going to beat myself up for like ever about this.
Don't everybody makes mistakes.
Well,
that's
but that's why I want to just stress because, you know, I use the word normal for a majority population, a cisgender population, but trans is normal. Okay.
Yes.
So Tom, you can ask your question, but understand Shauna's going to help set some guidelines here. Go ahead.
Well, I understand that, yes, and thank you for taking my call. And I'm completely in favor of transgender rights and transgenders being able to make their transformation and to be public about it, as much as public or as private about it as they want to.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm just curious. Okay. You mentioned having a spouse. I mean, a present at the time. You said, Shauna O'Toole, you said you have a spouse.
This is true.
Yeah, and the spouse is a woman. Or, I mean, a man, I believe.
Rocky and I have talked about this, and Rocky has given me permission to talk about it. Otherwise, I wouldn't necessarily.
That's fine. That's why I said, you know, because
yes.
Obviously you can choose to set that line wherever you want it.
Gender identity and sexual orientation occur in two different parts of the brain. So back when I was trying to live unsuccessfully as a hetero male to now I'm still attracted to women. I use spouse because in the process of our dating, Rocky started to question, here's gender identity. Gender neutral pronouns are difficult, so I'm trying to use Z here, here's. Yeah. And so I use spouse because right now Rocky identifies as gender fluid. Sometimes more male, sometimes more female, sometimes both, sometimes neither. And using the term spouse is something that is very inclusive, regardless of how Rocky identifies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So Rocky, your spouse, sometimes considers himself, herself, or himself.
Rocky uses both pronouns.
Okay.
Both pronouns, him, her. Okay. Then yourself, you were presenting yourself before the world, before your change, as a heterosexual man.
True.
And then heterosexual male, and then a heterosexual man, and then you made the transition And I was just wondering now if you considered yourself a heterosexual female.
I mean,
but
Tom wants to know, do you think of yourself as a gay woman?
Rocky himself is not, not a completely him or her.
You know,
thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Shauna.
What I would do is I would say that I am attracted to the person, regardless of the body. In our community, we would call this pansexual, or dare I say even sapiosexual, which is where I'm attracted to intelligence. My spouse has a master's degree. We have great conversations. So I would go, I would say that I am pansexual. I'm attracted to everyone. And I think part of this is that since I'm no longer living in the narrow box that I grew up in, I'm able to be more open with myself as to who turns my head.
Sure. I think that's that's the kind of response that sounds like you're an educator. You've done this before.
Thank you.
Which you do. So if you're just joining us, you're hearing Shauna O'Toole, our panel, transgender Americans, talking about transgender issues in the news and the way our community is evolving and learning, I think, learning and understanding and embracing. So Shauna O'Toole, Jason Robert Ballard, and Moore Delaney. And we're taking your calls as well. Before I get back to your phone calls, we briefly touched on the fact that there are some bigger names in the news and in mainstream media. One of them is Caitlyn Jenner. There was an event in Chicago this past winter, and protesters said, you know, Caitlyn Jenner shouldn't be who the media chooses to represent the trans community for a number of reasons. Caitlyn Jenner is politically more to the right. She talks about sort of more of the pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. And there are some, I think, in all communities who view that as, well, sort of classically politically right, and they therefore kind of missing the point of what a lot of transgender Americans have gone through because she's very privileged. I mean, certainly Caitlyn Jenner is very privileged. Others say, hey, you know, what she's done is live her own self, and at the very least, that's teaching America about that even more, and that is a good thing. Let me just ask, I'll start with Moore. Caitlyn Jenner, how do you view who she is to the trans community?
Well, before I go into who she is with the trans community, I want to say that who she is to herself is very important. And the fact that she's living her authentic self, I think, is absolutely a good thing. I think the fact that the media has talked a lot more about her since she's come out than they've continued to keep folks like Janet Mock and Laverne Cox in the limelight. The fact that Caitlyn Jenner is getting more airtime, I think, speaks to that point of privilege. And since so many transgender folks don't have the money, don't have the resources, many folks are forced to do sex work or have to struggle in other ways just to live, that Caitlyn Jenner's experience doesn't cover that. I don't think she knows what that's like. And so it's important to remember that as much as bringing that visibility into a broader community is a helpful thing, it's important to remember the folks that her experience doesn't cover.
Sure. Jason, what do you think?
I think that all of the reasons why stereotypically you would hate Caitlyn Jenner are reasons why why she's important. Does that make sense? Because you're saying that she's a Republican and she's a reality TV star and she's very privileged and things like that, it literally shows people that the trans community is not just activists, if that makes sense.
It's absolutely.
We are firefighters and we're doctors and we're Republicans and we're Democrats, and it goes through every level of human being that you can be transgender. And I think that is an important thing to remember, I guess, about Caitlyn Jenner.
Well said. Shauna?
You know, I have to agree with both Moore and Jason. You know, Caitlyn comes from a position of financial power that most of us don't have or will ever have. You know, she has media exposure, but at the same time, it puts us out there in the mainstream. Her group of teachers to help her come into the trans community have been phenomenal and have brought up many issues that the rest of us face. And these are trans women that I have incredible respect for. So Caitlyn Jenner does not represent me particularly. However, she is a voice for the general public saying, we are here. We are mainstream. It could be anyone. It could be your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your child, your employer or employee. We're just part of society.
Sure. And I think I tweeted recently, goodness, Caitlyn Jenner is just so annoying. She just wants attention. She comes from a family that just wants attention. And someone said, you can't rip someone in the trans community for that. I said, no, you're misunderstanding. I think pretty much that whole family just wants attention, and I am not going to hold back just because Caitlyn Jenner is trans. You know, that's embracing the trans community is being critical at times. But so I think well said, and I really do take Jason's point. I think it is an important one that Shauna was kind of capitalizing on to say it's all of us. Yeah, it's not just a narrow segment of the population. Back to the phones, Paul in Canandaigua. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm calling just to, I'm a heterosexual male, if I need a label, and I drive truck for a living, and I work with a bunch of, e-men, and it's interesting to see, I think it's because a lot of their kids are going through the college system, that they tend, some of them have changed their attitude towards this whole cultural movement. And I would like to just say personally, I grew up in a New England town that had a very large gay community, so it's always kind of like it wasn't a big deal. So I've been accepting to it, and I think our government should butt out of it. I mean, who to say who you can love or can't love or be or what you do? It's got nothing to do with the issues at hand. So just kudos to you and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Paul. That is a beautiful sentiment to offer, and it's nice to hear as well that in his line of work that he sort of identified as maybe stereotypically male, that there's evolution and understanding and acceptance there. Shauna, you see them?
I do. In fact, I have several Facebook friends who are truck drivers and are also trans.
Sure.
So thank you very much. We appreciate that support. And your fellow drivers appreciate that support, too, out there.
Well, then let me ask, based on that question, Shauna, you said, at least at this point in your life, you're glad you're not in education.
Yes.
And I don't mean to overgeneralize whether it's education, et cetera, but is there a line of work right now where it's hardest to be trans?
Oh, mercy. Now you're catching me flat-footed on this one.
No, that's the same thing. I'd
probably go politics, because politics will bring out all the hate mongers. I mean, you talked about all the hate mongers on the posting regarding my campaign. It does that because people look at us as strange, the different, the bizarre, the macabre, and the reality is that we're not. And the reason we're here is that by putting a voice, by putting a face, people will hopefully start to realize this could be anyone, and we're normalizing ourselves. But I would have to say politics is the hardest one right now.
What would you think, Jason?
I think I would go transmilitary. Two covers ago, we had this man named Logan Ireland.
In your magazine.
In my magazine,
which,
too.
If you missed it earlier, the magazine name is?
FTM, so female to male.
FTM magazine.
FTM magazine. So two covers ago, we had Logan Ireland on there, him and his wife, Layla, were featured on the New York Times. Huge viral video about transmilitary and things like that. And I wish that I knew exact facts better. I'm so bad at words and facts and things like that. But I want to say 15,000 active transmilitary members in service already. And as of right now, they can be discharged immediately if you find out, because they just don't know. Military just doesn't know which box to put people in. And I understand that some of it is about safety and things like that. But I think that having to live as not yourself and serve your country who are making these laws kind of thing, I think it's hard.
And more briefly, 20 seconds, what line of work do you think?
I think instead of a line of work, it's actually trans people of color.
Oh, yes.
That's a great point.
That's a great point, which deserves its own program And we'll get it on this program. Barb in Rochester, we're running out of time. Let's keep it tight. Go ahead.
Hi. I know Shauna and I know more and I might know Jason. And I'm trying to remember names to faces, but I'm just calling to say that I'm really glad that all of you are on the radio, and I'm grateful for the show today because a lot of times people think that people being trans isn't real somehow, the same way that gay people have been told that we're that's a phase and all of that. And we're in this different phase now where people are trying to, you know, process this. And just, you know, you're speaking your truth, and I appreciate that. We need that as a whole on the earth, and thank you for being you.
Thank you.
Barb, thanks for the phone call. And you heard the sentiments of the panel. Last 30 seconds more. We should have spent more time. I said we weren't going to do Caitlyn Jenner the whole hour, and we didn't. But Laverne Cox, and are there other great, you know, sort of role models or examples that you think are almost uniformly positive, a little less
controversial? Well, the ones I remember right off the bat are Laverne Cox and Janet Mock. And Laverne Cox, I had the pleasure of seeing at U of R, and she is such an articulate, intelligent speaker. We need to hear more from her.
I wanted to get Laverne Cox on this program. That would be a get. That would be a good get.
Would be.
We'll keep trying. But I want to thank our panel for being here this hour. Moore Delaney, thank you. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Jason.
Robert Ballard, thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Ben.
Great having you. And Shauna O'Toole, nice talking to you. Nice seeing you here.
It's been a pleasure.
Listeners, thanks for the phone calls and the interaction and interest. Our thanks to Duprina Gudboldos, our intern back there. Hi, Duprina. And Kat Schwartz is the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer of Connections. Our thanks to Barsook Records for the music. It's Rah Rah Riot. They do great stuff, and you should check them out as well. I'm Evan Dawson, and we will talk with you Thursday on Member Supported Public Radio.